And don't act like you don't know that song. I can't believe it. No, hey, listen, we're starting a new series. Guess what it's called? Sweet Emoji. No, I'm just kidding. Sweet Emotions. Sweet Emotions. Absolutely, because I believe with all my heart, the most powerful thing you can do is renew your mind. So this entire series is going to be about renewing your mind so that you can receive all that God has. So today, I'm just going to really lay the foundation. Just going to lay the foundation for where I want to go over the next couple weeks. Now, check this out. How many of you know what emoji is? How many of you have no idea what an emoji is? Are you, the 8:30 service hands went up all over the place. They're a little older. But hey, listen, here's the deal. These are emojis, and they actually represent emotions that we feel. Did you hear about the new Bible app called Emoji Bible? You didn't hear about that? Neither did I till this week. As I was researching for this message, check this out. I got some really cool things. Oh, no. Hold on. We got a problem. I got to the church this morning, and look at my iPad. It's got a cracked screen. But I still feel more confident about it than I do anything else. As far as Tove's got his iPad over there in case this one goes down. So it's saying things are weird. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on, I'll get signed in. Zach, edit this part of the message. Okay, it's messing up. I think I'm going to have to order a new iPad this week. Okay, anyway, I'm ready. All right, so I was talking about Bible emoji. There's an app, Bible emoji. We played with it this week. And if you type in a Bible verse, it gives you emojis for it. All right? Now, I know some of you are like, is that what you do at the church all day? Yes, we play Bible emoji app. No, here's some pretty cool ones, though. Some of these are kind of corny, but they get better as it goes. So here's the first one. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. How about this one? Be sober, be vigilant, because, C-U-Z. Because, I like it, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How about this one? This one's even better. God is. See, they just walk up to somebody and just go, God is. And if they know emoji, they'll understand. He is a strong hold in the day. Very good. Some of you are like emoji masters. Wow, of trouble. He knoweth those who trust in him. Check this out. It says this. God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the from the. Yeah, you guys are really good. Now watch this. In the beginning, God created the stars, the heavens, and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This one's good. And the spirit, it's a ghost, but it's a spirit. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Yeah. And God said, so we're like, oh, this way. I've done this 2 times before. I'm really not that good. I've just done this already twice. It says, and so, let there be, and there was a light bulb. And God saw, yeah, the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, yeah. And the darkness he called the evening, and the day were the first day. Now listen, if you do not understand emoji, now you do. And here's the deal. First time I ever had an emoji sent to me, it was by a lady who's a friend of mine. She sent me an emoji, and I sent it back, and I said, what is that? And she said, that's an emoji. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And honestly, for a while after that happened, I thought emojis were only for girls. I thought emoji talk is girl talk. So how many of you dudes send emojis on a regular basis? How many of you dudes kind of resist the idea of sending emojis? It's all right. Come on. It's all right. Hey, listen, I get it. I happen to use them now only because everybody else. And I'll tell you what convinced me that I should use them. I was talking to a buddy through text, and he hunts and all that stuff. And he sent me some hunting emojis. Had some deer, and then it had a gun pointed at it. I was like, shoot, man, if you can use emojis to talk about fishing and hunting, it's a dude thing now. So from that point on, guess what? It's game on. We talk emojis. But here's the reality. The reality is that emojis came about really to convey emotions that people were feeling. You know, like the one that the crying person, you know, they're laughing so hard, they're crying, you know, or angry or frustrated. They convey emotions. And in this series, we're going to talk about our emotions. Really, today, I'm going to lay the foundation for the mind and talk about your mind and how when it comes to you and I, that actually, believe it or not, we can limit God because of our mind and our mindsets. And I just believe with all my heart, if we're going to live this thing called Christian life, and we're going to do life as a believer, we should allow God to do anything and everything he wants to in our life. Amen? All right, so check this out. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says this. Now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above what? All. Now it's talking about God there. It's saying to him who is able. How many of you believe our God is able? Yeah, he is. He is able to do exceedingly. He's able to do abundantly. He's able to do above all that we think or ask. The Amplified says, think, do, ask, or imagine. That God is able to do more than we think, do, ask, or imagine. But listen to it. According to the power that works where? In who? In us. Here it is. You ready? It is possible to serve an almighty God who has all power, knows all things, can do anything. It is possible for you to serve a God like that, but get this, not see any of that power work in your life. It's possible. You can come to church, you can do Christian things, you can believe the Bible, and yet not see God work in your life. And you say, well, how in the world is that possible? Here's the deal. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you think, do, ask, or imagine. But it's according to the power that's working within you. It's according to the power that God has allowed to flow through you. It is not that God isn't able, and it isn't that he doesn't want to work in your life or flow through your life. The question is, are you in a position with your mind to receive and allow God to flow into your life? I believe with all my heart that one of the greatest enemies of God, if you want to call it that, and I got to watch saying it this way, but I hope you get where I'm coming from on this, is the human mind. That if your mind can't wrap itself around what God wants to do, then you will struggle to see God's power flow in your life. But yet at the same time, if you will take the limits off the God you serve and you can wrap your mind around what God says about your life, you will absolutely see God flood into your life and do big things. So how many of you want to see that? Man, I do. I do. I want to see all that God has for my life. Margaret Thatcher said this. She says, watch your thoughts because they become what? Words. Watch your words for they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. And watch your character because it becomes your destiny. What we think we become. And all that starts with our thoughts. What are you thinking about? What's your thought life like? What are you constantly meditating on? Thoughts are like seeds. Whatever you put in grows on the inside of you. It grows and it gets bigger. If you think about negative things, if you think about demonic things, if you think about ungodly things, guess what grows in your life? Ungodly things, demonic things, things of that sort. But listen to this. If you think about God's things, if you think about the good things, if you think about all that God can do, guess what grows in your life? God's power, God's ability in your life. See, here's the deal. Good thinking brings about good choices, which brings about healthy thoughts. Those three things are tied together. If you have good thinking, good choices, and healthy thoughts, can I tell you, you are taking the lid off of what God can do in your life. Now watch this. The flip side is also true. If you take toxic thinking and you have toxic choices, then you have toxic thoughts, can I tell you, everything in your life becomes toxic. Everything in your life becomes toxic. And I want to move you from a place of toxicity, if you want to call it that, to a place of liberty where God can really move in your life. Check this out. The Bible says this, Genesis 1:26 says this. And then God said, let us make man in our what? Image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth, even the creeps that creep on the earth. Praise God. Y'all don't believe that? I believe we have dominion over creeps. But anyway, we clown suits. But anyway, all right. That's a joke. All right, so listen to this. If I see, I'm shooting it. But anyway, all right. So don't come near me. All right. But anyway, check this out. Check this. I don't know what is up with that. Does anybody know? That takes a special kind of somebody to do that kind of crazy stuff. All right, I'm done. Back to the message here. But here's the deal. You were made in the image and likeness of God. You were made like God. God made you the same way he was made. Now listen, I know at first we hear that, but sometimes it doesn't register in the sense of our thought life. God made you to where you would think like him. That's how God made you. Now watch this. The fall happened, Adam and Eve. Eve ate, Adam ate, they fell. Everything that we do here at Abundant Life Church is to bring you back to a place before the fall so that you can operate the way God designed you. Truly. God designed you to think a certain way. Your mind was not made for toxic thinking. It wasn't. Matter of fact, check this out. I just recently read a book. If you want to get this book, we can get you a copy of it, or you can get it on your own. It's called Dr. Carolyn Leaf is the author, and I read all of her books. She's a great author. She's a Christian. She's a neurosurgeon. She's a neurologist. She's all these things that deals with the brain. Anyway, check this out. She's got this book called Who Switched on My Brain, where she talks about how toxic thoughts contaminate your faith, and it limits God's power in your life. And she actually said this. She said that when you have toxic thinking going on in your mind, get this, it physically changes the brain. Physically changes it. The brain, when it has toxic thinking, the brain, the physical brain actually shrinks back, pulls back, and fights against toxic thinking. This is why when you put your body or mind under stress, you shouldn't make decisions. Because what happens is the actual dendrites, the actual part of your brain that communicates with the other parts of the brain, shrink back when you're under stress. So it's hard to make quality decisions when you're under stress. How many of you know that's no new revelation? You ever seen somebody do something stupid and do something stupider because of their stupid decision? All right, I'll stop. But here's the reality. The reality is when you have toxic thinking, your mind doesn't function as well. You don't think as clear. But when you have right thinking, your mind extends itself and actually it becomes sharper with right thoughts and right thought patterns than it would with negative thoughts and negative thought patterns. Isn't that awesome? God made you in his image. How many of you know God is not up in heaven going, oh great, what are we gonna do about Gabriel? What are we gonna do about Gabriel? Gabriel done lost his lid. How many of you know God is not up there going, well, I hope we win the war. Come on. How many of you know God is not doubting himself? How many of you believe God believes he can do all things and he can? How many of you believe in God's world it's a settled deal? How many of you know he doesn't go to bed going, oh, I hope I can pay the bills? You see, God's not, he doesn't even think that way. He believes all things are possible to them that believe. See, he thinks that way. And get this. The more you wire your mind and think like he thinks, the sharper you become, the better you become. And watch this. To a greater extent, God opens up the windows of heaven over your life and pours you out a blessing you can't even receive. To your ability, I believe that one of the greatest hindrances to God moving in your life is your own mind. God will not fight you. Think about what I just said. God will not fight you to move in your life. He's not going to move you so he can move in your life. The only way God's going to move in your life is when you open up your mind and say, God, have your way, oh God. Have your way. They crazy, but I welcome you right here. Well, come on with it. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? All right, maybe you ain't got no crazy people. But anyway, the truth of the matter is God wants to move in your life. The only hindrance you have oftentimes is your own mind. You've got to defeat your own mind sometimes to allow God to move in your life. Check this out. This is Romans 12. It says this, and do not be conformed to this world. How does the world operate? Fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, all those things. Listen, you can't constantly watch Fox, watch CNN, watch all that's going on, listen to all the talk radio, and then yet walk in faith. Listen, I was telling someone just last night, matter of fact, I know she's here today. We were talking about this, wasn't we? That you can't constantly hear all that the world has to say and walk in faith. It's impossible. Why? Because the world system is set upon the idea of fear, doubt, confusion, misleading, misguiding. Come on, it's political season. All those things. Ratings are made because they make a hoopla about nothing. Come on, you get it? Every hour, breaking news. There ain't no news in that. That was last hour's news. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying. You can't. The world system is based upon that. And sometimes you need to cut that stuff off for a season. Sometimes you need to break that stuff off because the world system will absolutely, the world system is not here to give you faith. The world system is not here to plant good thoughts in your mind. You come out of that, you want to kill somebody. Be not conformed to the world and the world's pattern and how they think, but be transformed by the renewing of your... Notice it doesn't say pray more. Doesn't say any of those. Not that those things are bad. What I'm saying is that your mind being renewed is the key to God transforming your life. Come on, amen? Look at this. And be not conformed that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Get this. The mind. The mind is the ability to control what we do. The mind carries with it the ability to control what we do. What you think about controls what you do. I know in our culture it doesn't sound like it should be said, you know, but it needs to be said. That if you think bad things, you're going to do bad things. I don't know what happened. I know what happened. You thought about that. That thought was on the inside of you and you allowed that thought to grow. And as that thought grew, it became an action in your life. Yeah. We live in a culture that refuses to take responsibility for their own decisions. The ability to control what we do, to know what we are doing and why we are doing it. You have that ability. The ability to understand. You have that ability. God's given mankind that ability. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, think about it this way. Animals see their environment, but they don't understand it. They see it, but they don't understand it. Give you an example at my house. A few nights ago, this last week, I take the dog out. Now, if your house isn't like mine, here's the deal. About every night, 3 or 4 in the morning, the dog comes and paws the bed. You know what that means? That doesn't mean I wake up. That means Michelle wakes up because she sleeps light and Michelle wakes me up. And then I take the dog out, all right? So I take the dog out and we got a Shih Tzu and we got a black lab who is my daughter's dog, which is moving in 3 weeks, praise God. So, but anyway, all right, just help me. That's a happy thought, y'all. It's a thought series, happy thought. All right, so I take these dogs out, and we're outside. Well, suddenly the black lab sees something in the woods. And we got 6.5 acres there of woods, okay? The Shih Tzu is perfectly fine going back in the house. So I take the Shih Tzu back in the house. Smart dog, right? Smart dog. No. Take the dog back in the house. I grab the flashlight. I'm walking. Now I'm in boxers and a robe. And flip-flops, y'all. And I'm out there, and I finally make it to where the dog is. And the dog has something treed. Okay? And this is 4 a.m, y'all. And it's trying to climb the tree. Now, I'm out there so long, my nose is running. And Michelle gets up out of bed and comes to find me. She gets out there. She's like, she's in her robe. We look weird. She's like, what are you doing? I can't get the dog to come in. Because I know what would happen. If I go in the house without the dog, I'm going back out of the house. Come on, can I get any dudes in here that know how life is? All right, I'm going right back out. So I might as well not even go in without the dog, right? But I'm afraid if I go in and get the leash to get the dog by the collar, then the dog will run more. Then it's going to get worse. So needless to say, the dog is sitting there barking at this tree for 20 minutes, and there's nothing in the tree at this point. He done ran off everything that was in the tree. He has an ability to see their environment, but not understand it in one way, shape, or form. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And we're sitting there going, what is the deal? Come on, man. How many of you know at that point I needed a whole series on Thought Life? It's a good thing I didn't have my gun either. But anyway, listen to this. Here's the truth. You ready? The truth is, after God, what is the most powerful thing in the universe? It is the human mind. The mind's ability to control thoughts and your thought life. When you can control your thoughts and your thought life, you take the limits off of God and the God that you serve. But if you put a stranglehold on your thought, I'm sorry, if you would just allow your thoughts to run rampant, guess what's going to happen? You will always be in a place of defeat and deficit. The system is not set up for you to just let your mind run and go crazy. You will always end up defeated in your life. See, get this. In light of this, there are, here was my thing. How can I know that my thoughts are moving in the right direction? How can I know that my thoughts are moving in the right direction? And I'm going to break it down to the simplest form and simplest way I can show you to know if your thoughts are godly or not godly. It's very, very simple. There are only two root emoji emotions. Only two. You ready? Love and fear. Every thought you have should be ran through the idea of, is this rooted in love or is this rooted in fear? There's only two. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, in that book that I was telling you about, she talks about there's only two root emotions, love and fear. That's it. Love and fear. Love and fear. Think about it on a religious level. God is not a healer. Is that rooted in love or is that rooted in fear? Now, let's just go there for a second. Well, let me ask you, do you love your kids? I mean, today. Today, do you love your kids? Come on, you love your kids? All right, if you love your kids, how many of you know you're not putting sickness on them to show them how much you love them? How many of you know that's crazy talk? Okay, but yet people ascribe that to God. Well, that's just God loving us. Well, I just don't want God to love me that way. It doesn't even make sense, really, to be honest. That's why I'm using it. It's so absurd. But yet people believe that. Now, my point is simply this. If you will filter the idea of God through love, you'll always end up with the right thoughts that you should be thinking. So whenever your body gets sick, it shouldn't be a question of if God wants me to be healed. It should be a question of God loves me, therefore he wants me healed. Therefore, my mindset should be, and my thoughts should be, God desires me to be healed. Because it's filtered through the aspect of God loves me. All right? God wants me broke because he's teaching me poverty. Okay, you're a special kind of somebody. When I was in Bible college, I had a pastor who was a professor there, and he said that at his church, he would like to have two lines to pray over people. Two lines. On one hand, people would walk up if they need prayer. He would lay hands and pray over them and believe God for whatever they're believing for. But if he couldn't get it fixed with this one, he had another line over here, and it was called the slapping line. That if you couldn't get it through prayer, some people just need to be slapped upside the head and say, okay, come on, wake up. How many of you know that ministry would grow in bounds? People would be like, Pastor Charlie, I've never volunteered for anything, but sign me up to slap people around. I like that. I have like the Three Stooges over here or something. But anyway, my point is this. Sometimes we have to stop and realize the thoughts that we're having, are they filtered through love or are they filtered through fear? If they're filtered through love, then you'll understand always, you'll know exactly what the will of God is for your life. Always. It's so, so simple. Let me give you just a couple verses that deal with fear and love. Look at this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. God doesn't want you to be bound by fear. But of power, love, and a what? Sound mind. Notice this. People with a sound mind are rooted in love. Come on, amen. If you want to be rooted and grounded and have a well-balanced mind, you have to be rooted in love. People that are not rooted in love fly off the handle. Don't know when to filter. Don't know when to shut up. Praise God, it's all right. I know people, images are flashing. Just go with me here. For God did not give us, this is the Amplified Bible, I think it says it even a little bit better. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, cowardice, craving, all that, but he has given us the spirit and power of love, of a calm and well-balanced. This is the way God made you. This is the way God intended you to live, calm and well-balanced. You know, I never try to make a decision when I'm emotionally wound up about something. Do I sometimes? Yes. Do I oftentimes regret it? Yeah, most of the time. I will even now, I'll let the dust settle on purpose. Even when people press me for an answer, I will tell them, I can't make a decision on that right now. Let me let it settle in my heart. Well, we need to know. Well, then count me out. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because God wants me to stay in this place. Power, love, and a calm, well-balanced, well-disciplined mind and self-control. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Never go, listen to this. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to things that happen to you. And if you react to everything that happens to you, you're always going to be in a deficit. But if you allow God's spirit through love to give you a calm, well-balanced mind, then move forward, I promise you, you'll stay in the path and will of God. Check this out. 1 John 4:18 says this, for there is no fear in what? Love. But perfect love, what's it do? Cast out fear. Look at this, fear and love. Only two emotions that really are rooted in every other emotion. Fear and love. Perfect love is more powerful than fear. So let me ask you a question. Do you have an area of your life that you're bound by fear in? You have any area of your life that you're bound by fear? If so, number one, that's an indication that God's love hasn't touched it yet. Because when God touches it, he releases that fear off of you. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do when I retire. All right. Let God's love touch that. How many of you know God will provide for you? God will take care of you. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're going to do about this. I don't know what we're going to do about that. How many of you know worry is simply a sign that you haven't allowed God's love to take care of that area. You remember what Jesus said? He said, even the lilies in the valley and even the birds of the air, don't even worry. For God knows the things they need and he provides for them. Doesn't he love you even more? That's what the whole paraphrase version of that is. He loves you even more than that. So allow God's love to touch every area that you have fear in. So if you have any area that you're feeling fearful, allow God's love to touch it. Oh, I've been divorced, I'll never find somebody else. Really? Allow God's love to touch that area. And if God's love touches it, you won't fear that anymore. Right? That's a whole lot better than you being desperate running around trying to find somebody. Because you just might find somebody. in a clown suit. Anyway, all right. Check this out. I don't know why I'm on the clown. If I offended you over the clown suit, you know, whatever. Now we know. Check this out. Love always brings with it the ideas of happiness, contentment, pleasure, and joy. Always. When fear, always. Fear, anger, anxiety, guilt, and stress on your life. Stress on your life. Check this out. Love always operates in optimism. Always does. And actually, optimism is the world's word for faith. And get this, fear always revolves around pessimism. Well, I just don't think God will. Well, I just believe God will until he won't. You know? I heard this said once, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts. Starve your fears, no doubt about it. See, the reality is, you ready? When it comes to love and fear, when it comes to how we think about it. This is one of the greatest gifts that God has given mankind. You ready? It's very simple. We have a choice. You and I have a choice. We can make a choice every day to think about things that produce love or revolve around love, or we can think about things that operate in fear and revolve around fear. If we think about things that revolve around fear, it will always grow on the inside of us and we become more fear-bound instead of faith-bound. Faith and fear are opposites. You can't operate in faith and in fear at the same time. You ever thought about that? Faith is believing God is, and he is a rewarder, right? Yes. Believing his love overshadows you. Fear, on the other hand, is contrary to that. Fear tells you God won't, and you don't qualify for it. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying. All right, so check this out. I'll give you a couple more verses here. 2 Corinthians, check this verse out. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read this through, and then I'm going to back it up and show you in levels. Well, we're going to, how many of you grew up in the 80s? How many of you played a record backwards every once in a while? One. Somebody else is lying. But anyway, I want to show you this verse. We're going to read it down. And then what I want to do is I want to back it up and kind of go through it. And I'm going to show you how things happen in your thought life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. All right? Check this out. Casting down arguments. Everybody say argument. Yeah. And every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, let me show you these key words that I want you to know. Number one, thought. The word thought. Then we move from thought to a high thing. From a high thing to an argument. From an argument to a stronghold. You see it? All right, let's go now progressively through it. Stronghold, high thing, stronghold, argument, high thing, thought. Okay? Say, Pastor Charlie, what's that got to do with it? Check it out. Every thought, if it's allowed to stay, will produce something. It'll produce after its own kind, and it'll make more of what it is. So a thought always leads to a high thing in your mind. You begin to think about something, that thought grows, until that thought begins to run out other thoughts, and it grows on the inside of your mind. If you allow that thought to stay there, that high thing, it becomes an argument. If you allow that argument to stay there long enough, it becomes a stronghold in your mind. In your mind. Okay? So whenever you're talking to your father, my dad was 57 years old. We were talking one day. My dad said, son, don't you get depressed? Don't you have bipolar? Aren't you bipolar and schizophrenic or any of that? True story. I said, Dad, I don't think about those things. I don't think like that. My dad, son, we're Rileys. We're all crazy. Michelle, am I right? We're all crazy. You crazy too. And I'm thinking to myself, Dad, you're living in my house. And somebody's crazy here, but it isn't me. So I'm thinking the whole time. But I said, Dad, no, I choose not to think like you. I don't think like that. How do you respectfully tell your dad he's crazy? It's not easy. But listen to this. I told my dad, I said, no. I said, Dad, you can make a choice. You don't have to think like that. That's your choice. You made a choice to think like that. I make a choice not to think like you. I don't think like that. I do not think that way. See, get this. My dad had thought through someone telling him or his own thoughts or the enemy placed it there that he was crazy. So my dad allowed that thought to become a high thing. That high thing became an argument. How do you know when you're getting to the argument level? When you start arguing it and justifying it. You start saying, well, yeah, we're all Rileys. We're all crazy. No, not every Riley is crazy. You got five of you, two of you crazy, three of you are normal. Not everybody is under that umbrella. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? It was a high thing. It was a high thing that became an argument to it became a stronghold. And it had a hold on his life. Like he never did get free from it. Never did get free from it. Never did. Died with that same mentality. I have to be bipolar. I have to be crazy. I have to be nutty. Have to be. I have to lose my temper. No, you don't have to. You choose to. Yeah, you choose to. It's a choice you make. Yeah. I choose not to. You choose to. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, you say, well, Pastor Charlie, that's terrible. No, actually, it's the way God made you. And it's actually pretty cool if you take it and flip it. Because if you take it and you understand that thoughts become high things and high things become arguments and arguments become strongholds, guess what? You can flip it around. I believe God is for me. Man, I believe that. Hey, I've thought about that so long, it became a high thing. It got so bad, it's an argument. I'll argue with you about it. God is for me. Well, I don't think he is. Well, I think he is. To the point that it's a stronghold on me. I'm not letting it go. Matter of fact, I don't need you. I don't need an amen. I don't need no one to tell me. I just have this in me. It's so strong in me that God is for me. God loves me, wants to heal me, wants to touch me, wants to move in my life. It's a stronghold. And if you allow the right thoughts to grow, you'll get strongholds too. To where you have a strong hold on the things of God, a strong hold on the promises of God, a strong hold on everything that God has for you. And man, once you get a hold of that, there isn't nothing that can replace it. Why? Because it's not based in fear, it's based in the love of God. You know that God loves you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bless everything you put your hands to. I'm telling you, it is phenomenal. And that's the way you were designed to be. God made you to allow you to have strongholds so you could grab a hold of the things of God and walk in his promises each and every day of your life. So now get this. Second Chronicles says this, or Deuteronomy says this. Check this out. I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and what? Death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, look at this. This is God. This is God giving a pop quiz. He showed up and he says, hey, listen, there's blessing, there's cursing. There's life and there's death. There's love and there's fear. There's all these things. Now, here's the deal. Here's the quiz. I want you to choose life. I want you to choose blessing. I want you to choose these things. Because then he goes on to say, therefore, choose life, that you, both you and your descendants, may live. Absolutely. See, God's saying, listen, you have a choice. You and I, we get to make the choice. We can choose blessing or cursing. We can choose life or death. We can choose fear or faith. We can choose fear or love. We get to choose. And if we'll allow ourselves to choose the right things, guess what? It opens up the windows of heaven for God to move in your life. So if you're here today and you're like, man, I want God to move in my life, but I'm not seeing much. Ask yourself this. What areas Have I not turned over to the Lord? Usually people, it's amazing to me, people won't turn over areas of their life to the Lord because honestly they're fearful what he'll do with it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I just don't know if I can trust God with my money. Yeah, because you're doing so great. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying? Well, I just don't know if I can just choose to forgive them. I mean, God will just, he'll just put love in my heart for them then. Yeah, that's a lot better than bitterness, right? I just don't know if I can trust God with my spouse. I'm staying away from that one, all right? I'm staying away from that one, all right? But hey, can I tell you, that's a better place than you doing it all? For sure, for sure. So now, during this series, we're going to talk about how to renew our minds and allow God's limitless power to flow into our lives. We're not going to let our emotions, we're not going to let our feelings, we're not going to let any of those things root out the promises of God. We're going to have God put strongholds in us so that we can be grounded in him, so that his limitless power can show up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let me give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.